And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you may be listening to us across the entire globe. It's Tarot Insider here on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. I'm Dax Carlisle, president of the Tarot Guild and Tarot Master, calling in from Tucson, Arizona, and joining me for today's show is fabulous certified Tarot Master and writer and author. She doesn't need an introduction. It's Janet Boyer. Let's just bring Janet on. Hey, Janet.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Dax.
I think everybody knows who you are, except for maybe some of our new listeners, but they can read all about you at janetboyer.com. And we have a page for you right there on Psychic Talk, psychictalk.net/Janet. You'll find it right on the front page of psychictalk.net. That's right. And we are a live call-in show. Give us a call, 714-816-4628. We got a great topic for you today, how to get the most out of tarot reversals. And we especially want your questions on that. Any questions you've got on working with tarot reversals? Also, any questions about reading tarot? You can also call in for a mini reading. What we're doing on the show today, because we want to get to all the callers, we're doing the readings a little bit faster than we normally do on the show so that we can get to the callers that want to really talk about reversals and how to do readings and things like that. But we'll certainly pull a card for you real quick if you call in for a mini reading, 714-816-4628. And then also you can chat with me live at psychictalk.net/chat. That'll take you over to our chat post on Facebook. I'm in there now. Oh, there's Eli. Hi, Eli. Eli's in the chat post already. Now, if you're not a member of our free Psychic Tarot Radio group, when you go to psychictalk.net/chat, it'll take you to that post, scroll up, join the group, and then you'll be able to talk in the comments on this post. And that's how we do the chat room. And you can ask questions about reading and reversals and everything in there. Great. So we'll be going to the callers, you know, in just a little while here. We're going to get into the topic. This came up because, Janet, I think it was the show that you called in. Mary and I were doing the show. We were talking about something else, but reversals came up. Is that how I remember it, or I'm not sure?
I can't remember. I think so.
Because we were talking about reversals. Yeah, and I think the main thing we were talking about, especially Mary and I, we were saying how, you know, we don't use reversals anymore. And we went in at length about that and why we didn't. And I thought, hey, but wait a minute, Janet wrote the book, you know, Tarot in Reverse. So why don't we do a show, you know, with Janet where we talk the other side of the street, so to speak, you know, why you would want to do reversals and how to get the most out of using them. But hey, before we get into the topic, Janet, two things. One, everybody, you can go and grab the book, psychictalk.net/reverse. Take you right to it. psychictalk.net/reverse. Just open a new tab in your browser, pop that in, and you can see what we're talking about. But I want to ask you about the book first, because I know it's been some years, and I'm getting older, so I can't remember which came out first, like Back in Time Tarot or Tarot in Reverse.
It's funny you say that. I was just thinking before the show, oh my gosh, next month, May, is the bookiversary for both of them. Back in Time Tarot will be celebrating its 10th anniversary. Can you believe
Good
that?
God. We are
I know,
old.
Next month. I know. It came out in May of 2008, and then Tarot in Reverse came out May of 2012. So it'll be the 6-year bookiversary for Tarot in Reverse.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense now. I kind of remember things now that you put it in perspective there. What I wanted to ask you about also was, okay, so you had done Back in Time and, you know, the bit method. I love that. Always loved that. But so then when you decided to write and start writing tarot in reverse. Why? You know, how did that come? Why would you want to do a book just on reversals? You know, how'd that come up?
Well, I only write books that reflect things I don't see on the shelf, or that doesn't fit my needs, or if I think I can do it better. Not to sound arrogant, or perhaps not better, but a totally different take on it. And, you know, a lot of people would write to me and say, you know, oh, I don't know what to do about reversals, like if I taught online, or just I'd get random emails and they'd say, you know, what do I do about reversals? And they found there was only one book on the market at that time, and they found it too complex and psychological. And so I thought, you know, my Back in Time Tarot method, the subject of my first book, Back in Time Tarot, used pop culture and memories and biographical profiles and fairy tales and books and things like that to learn tarot backwards. So, you know, I have extensive knowledge in pop culture and, you know, history, mythology, and things like that. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to give an extensive treatment of tarot in reverse, correlating it to an event in popular culture that many people would be familiar with? And also, there's never extensive keywords for reversals in books. You know, even the book that was on the market that was about reversals still didn't have extensive keywords. So I wanted to not only, you know, I approach it in a totally different way. I give dozens and dozens of keywords specifically for reversals. Then I do an excerpt of pop culture or history or news items to say this is, you know, a prime example of how this card reverse would manifest. And then I would give a piece of advice, a quote, and then I would provide 20 affirmations, 20 for each card for the reversal aspects. Because, you know, in life we always experience reversals. Reversals in that, you know, we take, you know, two steps forward and it's four steps back, or things don't turn out the way we expect, or loss, or, you know, the unexpected, things like that. So I thought, well, you know what, life's reversals, I also wanted it to be kind of a self-help text, too, on how to deal with life's reversals that are reflected in the card. So, you know, even if you didn't read reversals necessarily in a reading, you could still use my book to ponder how the other side of the continuum for a particular card can manifest in your life. You can use it for, like, journaling or meditation. Because, you know, life's reversals can give us opportunities to grow as a person, to reevaluate what's important, to redefine our values, you know, to cultivate empathy and compassion, mature, change our perspectives, you know. There's a lot of different hidden benefits in experiencing reversals. So I wanted it to not only be a fun treatment of reversals that makes it actually relevant and understandable, but also a way of how we can perhaps change our perspective of life reversals in a more empowering way.
Absolutely, yeah, because some of the stuff is just so dry. And, you know, there's a couple of people who have done some things where they've tried to make it a little more contemporary or a little more interesting or fun or both. You include it, you know, there's like, you know, one or two other authors and then you, you know.
Oh, bless you.
Oh, my God. You know, by the way, I did pull a card today and did the numerology. And I just wanted to mention this because it's kind of relevant. Is like the day is the 25th is a 7, and that's discovery. And then it's master number 22, the whole date reduces to that, which is 4, structure. So discovery of structure. And who knows, on this show, you may discover some things, even if you've been doing tarot for a long time. Also, I got the Ten of Swords as the card for this. And what I'm getting from this is that one of two things is going to happen, Janet. They're going to listen to this show today and maybe go back and listen to the episode where we talked about reversals and why Mary and I don't use them. And you mentioned with your the two decks you actually created with your husband, Ron, that you don't use reversals with those. And maybe they'll go listen to that, and maybe they'll listen to the show, and they may say, okay, that's it. That's the end. Ten of Swords moment. I'm not ever doing reversals again. Or the opposite. They might have total change of heart, and this is the end of a cycle for them and the beginning of a new one where they give reversals another chance. What do you think about that?
Or have their mind blown. Woohoo.
Ooh, absolutely. Yeah. It was a lot of thoughts. That's a lot of swords there. A lot of thoughts.
Yeah. And to have your mind blown is to, you know, really to have like an aha moment where you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I never saw things quite like that. You know, of course you can get lost in minutia, you know, that can happen with a ton of swords. But again, you know, with the reversal, it could mean, you know, mind-blowing facts or, you know, releasing illusions, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You mm-hmm. stole my thunder from the thunder.
I'm sorry.
Because that's where I was going next was like, hey, well, you know, what is Ten of Swords reversed? And, you know, when I look at the Ten of Swords, you know, I look at the traditional meanings and, you know, the endings, the possible, you know, misfortune, failures, all that kind of thing. But I also see the, at least in the Waite Smith versions, you know, the dawn coming up in the background. So I see the start of a new cycle. I see kind of like some of the potential opposite or what would be reversed meanings. I see it in the spectrum of the card itself. So what would be more contemporary with the Ten of Swords reversed? And you mentioned a couple ideas there.
Yeah, well, one of the things is if you look in the Rider-Waite version, you'll notice that his hand is making a symbol, and I think he's making a yogic mudra. And I talk about this actually in my next book, Naked Tarot, which is coming out in September 2018. But that is, it might be Agni. Other people say it could be a different mudra, but it's often associated with solar force or fire. So it could be indicating, too, about having a new fire or a new passion that stirs up within you that overthrows the mental minutiae and, you know, the splitting hairs that can sometimes come with the sword. So it could actually be a reinvigoration of passion when you come to the end of logic or your skill set, if that makes sense. Now, for the contemporary example I use with the Ten of Swords, do you remember the show Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Of course.
Show from the 80s. And the show That's Incredible with John Davidson, Fran Tarkenton, and Kathy Lee Crosby. Do you remember those?
Oh, love that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, they showcased the outlandish, shocking, baffling, disgusting, and death-defying. And back then, that was the real reality TV. And because the tens have reached a saturation point, if it's reversed, you know, and the swords realm deals with thoughts, beliefs, and conclusions, and even the nervous system, the Ten of Swords can suggest mental overload and nerve problems and things like that, but it can really mean having your mind blown, having your perspective so pushed and so stretched, you know, that you can make way for new ideas and new perspectives. You know, sometimes our perspectives is nudged open a little by little, and sometimes we just have some type of insight that really blows out the tires, so to speak. It just pushes, you know, everything out or everything we thought we knew, you know. Ten of Swords reverse could be like a conspiracy theory, too. You know, whether or not some of the stuff that's offered up as conspiracy theories is true, you'd have to research. But if some things are true, then it blows your mind, and you're like, oh, my gosh, maybe reality isn't all that, you know, I thought it was. You know, because sometimes we rely on our logic and we rely on rationality, you know, the left brain, and which is very swordsy. You know, but there are other ways to pick up information. And sometimes when, out of habits, we go down the same mental path, and which is reflected biologically with the neurons, you know, the more we repeat certain ideas to ourselves subconsciously or the more we're exposed to certain ideas and worldviews, those actually, you know, create new synapses and neurons and neural pathways, and we actually kind of engrave certain patterns on the brain, you know, and including negativity at times, and self, you know, defeating limitations and habits. And so, you know, if we keep going down those paths, we severely limit our ways of seeing things. If we assume and we go quickly from A to B saying, oh, I know that, or I know what the deal is, or I know all about this person, or I know this book won't be any good, or this or that, you know, we go there without even engaging into the critical thinking. And, you know, with expanding and stopping and thinking, wait a minute, you know, have I just taken a shortcut with my neural pathways and my assumptions and my ingrained beliefs? Where am I truly independently evaluating this situation or circumstance or belief for itself? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Makes perfect sense to me. I don't know about everybody listening, but it makes perfect sense to me.
Well,
oh,
I don't think,
gosh.
You know, upside-down tarot cards, for me, I don't think that it means necessarily the opposite of the upright. You know, and I explain in my book why, you know, I think that that's actually sort of lame to do that. Say, oh, well, it's just the opposite of the card. Mm-hmm. I offer actually a dozen different scenarios of what a reversed card could mean. And that
mm-hmm.
can include no or not. And that might sound simplistic, but when a reversal comes up in a reading, it could be as easy as putting no or not in front of the upright meaning of the card. You know, you get the Empress reversed, not pregnant, you know, or no, don't try to get pregnant, or no, the creativity isn't going to be happening, you know. The second one is inward or inside. Sometimes a card's upright energy is directed inwardly, you know, or it manifests behind the eyes or within the heart. And so the energy of a reversal in that case may be more psychological or spiritual in nature rather than overt or material. So if somewhere, let's take the Empress through all of these. Okay, so if the Empress reverse comes with the inward or inside, it could be indicating an ectopic pregnancy. You know, a person is pregnant, but it's not going to come to term because it's stuck there in the fallopian tube. Of course, we can't, you know, as tarot readers, predict or advise on any medical condition unless we have the proper credentials, unless we are MDs or, you know, nurse practitioners, or we have some type of medical degree. We can't, you know, even advise in that department, but I'm just saying, you know, what it could mean. Or inward inside for an Empress could mean the creativity is gestating. You know, it's not to be outward yet. You know, it's not going to be, you know, manifested in a proliferation yet, but it's gestating, you know, and it's growing inside, the creativity. The third one is outward or projected. Sometimes it's the opposite. It could be a card's upright energy is aimed outward in the form of blame or projection. You know, some truths or behavior patterns are too painful for people to recognize and admit. And so those, you know, negative traits such as lying or condescension, yeah, if you're a weather person, condescension or positive traits, you know, like intelligence or eloquence. So, you know, let's say a queer psyche has been damaged by childhood abuse, you know, for example. Well, he or she may not be able to own negative behavior or positive behavior because, you know, of low self-esteem. So outward projected, you know, someone might project other people or good mothers, and they demonize themselves and feel like that they're a bad mother, maybe because they had a bad mother themselves, or because they just have negative self-talk, you know, or maybe they're afraid to become a mother because they don't think that they're as good as, you know, their sister is, you know, being a mother or people they admire. So then it becomes outward or projected. The fourth way reversals can be interpreted is desired, but not for the best or not to be attained. So, you know, reversal can often indicate what a client really wants but is not or will not be getting. You know, cause a reversal can really reflect our desires, our deep desires, our wants, you know, and our lusts even. But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we're going to be getting it. And then the fifth way you can interpret a reversal is extreme or unhealthy manifestation of energy. Because what happens when an upright energy of a card is taken to extreme? Well, sometimes reversals can indicate that extremism or its repercussions. So, you know, an empress in that category would be perhaps being like a smother mother or a neglectful mother, you know, or a helicoptering parent who does everything for their kid and doesn't let them grow into their own, you know. The next one would be hidden. Like a reversal may indicate or reveal an energy that has been completely unseen or overlooked by the client. So it's kind of like a big red exclamation part, you know, mark, an arrow, like, look at me, pay attention to me, you know, that this hasn't even been considered in the client's life or in their thought patterns, and this really, really needs to be heeded and paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that a tarot reversal could indicate is something that is needed in a querent's life, but it's not utilized. See, a tool only serves us when it's actually picked up and utilized. I mean, if you have a nail and you need to hammer it into the wall, you know, it doesn't do you any good if the hammer's on the table. You know, you kind of have to pick it up and use it. And so, you know, a card reverse can indicate that this a particular energy or advice or interpretation, it actually needs to be picked up and utilized. You know, so reversals in that area can highlight, you know, an energy that's sorely lacking or needed in a person's life, but is either absent or unused. And so then in the case of absence, you know, of course you would look to all the other cards in a reading as well. But if it's absent, you know, you can empower the querent or yourself to say, okay, well, if it's absent and needed, you know, what do I need to get that skill set, or what do I need to get, you know, that particular aspect in my life? Or if it's unused, you know, how could I start using this particular gift or energy, whatever, you know, whatever it is. So if you had an empress reversed in that department, you know, it might be saying that, you know, you're a very creative person, but you're not using it. You're not using the tools you have, you know, and then you find out from the querent based on other cards and a dialogue, you find out that they used to play the piano in their youth and they were very good, or they used to do singing or what have you, and they miss it, but they, you know, dismiss it because it doesn't seem practical. Well, you know, you have a reading in this case, you know, it says, hey, you got some gifts here, you're not using it, and it could be helping you in different areas. You know, like if it was a financial reading or career reading, you know, they might be saying, you know, I'm not really sure where I want to go next. And, you know, you do a reading on their gifts or what have you, you know, and the Empress comes reversed, and it might be, whoa, this person's sitting on crap load of creativity, and they're not even mining their natural skill sets and their gifts to where they could be used to generate income or to have some kind of vocation or hobby on the side that they, you know, would prove fulfilling. And then another way reversals can be interpreted is a fear of. So it could be like a fear of whatever the upright card would suggest. So if you had the Empress reversed in this section, it might be a fear of having children, or a fear of getting pregnant, or a fear of creativity, even fear of not doing it, quote, right, especially if a person's a perfectionist. So, for example, if you'd have Empress reverse Queen of Swords, that can indicate a fear of creativity because of a critical nature, or a fear of other people criticizing your work. Like a Hermit reverse can, you know, suggest fear of being alone. So a fear of can also be indicative with reversals. And then another way is blocked energy. Sometimes an upside-down card can point to what I call molasses energy. It's some kind of slowness that hampers the full expression of an upright meaning, or the reversal can signify an actual blockage that prevents the energy of the card from moving, flowing, or manifesting in the material world. So, if we have an Empress reversed, it might, you know, of course, you'd have to be a medical practitioner, but it could indicate that something is blocking a woman's pregnancy. Perhaps, you know, she can't get pregnant. Perhaps she needs to have, you know, some kind of gynecological exam or procedure. If it were creativity and abundance, it could be a blockage with, you know, a thought process. For example, if you had an Empress reversed with the Eight of Swords, it could indicate learned helplessness in the area of abundance. So the person is blocked from receiving abundance, you know, as indicated by the Empress reversed, because of their self-limiting beliefs, the Eight of Swords upright. And another way you can interpret reversals is emerging or lessening. So a reverse card can indicate the upright energy is present, but it's just now either entering the situation or it's on its way out, and you would really look to the other cards for that. Also a play on image. Sometimes the tarot seems to have a sense of humor, and it suggests an offbeat but accurate interpretation based on the card's imagery or even the title. And that's why, you know, an Ace of Cups reverse can indicate a leaky faucet or an overflowing toilet. Or like a Wheel of Fortune reverse can suggest, you know, spinning your wheels. Ace of Pentacles reverse can refer to playing basketball. I mean, you know, if you look at it upside down, it looks like a basketball hoop in Rider Waite. Version almost looks like a hand dribbling a ball instead of a pentacle.
Finish your thought there, but that brings something up I want to bring up.
Oh, okay. And I was just going to say that, you know, sometimes when an image is upside down, you see it differently, and it actually reminds you of something. You're like, oh, my God, that looks like, you know, blank, blank, blank. And then lastly, I just have one more connection, is the esoteric connection. When a card ends up reversed, it may very well indicate that an esoteric connection needs considered in the reading. So this could be correlated with astrology, numerology, Hebrew letters, Kabbalistic paths in the Tree of Life, the esoteric functions, Golden Dawn attributions, Crowley's writings, and so on and so on. So sometimes when a card is reversed, it's kind of like a little, it can be a little signal, hey, remember all those other esoteric disciplines that you've been studying and see if maybe they come to play as well. And then also there's a bunch of prefixes that are often I associate with reverses, reversals, like un, dis, mis, in, ear, pre, non, ex, re, over, under, d, as in like being disturbed by or disappointed by, inability to, misunderstanding, misplaced, disintegration of, inadequate, undiagnosed, premature. So sometimes those prefixes also can be an indicator to what the reversal means. So I hope that's not too overwhelming.
Okay. It's all right, though, because it naturally leads into the next thing I want to talk about, and you already brought it up. Real quick, though, I wanted to mention Rose Fullhorst, our host from the Tuesday Power of Three show, is in the chat room, and she says, beautiful explanation, Janet. Loving the show.
Aw, thank you, Rose. Big hugs.
Yep. Rose says it all comes from experience. If you want to join us, you're listening live, just open a new tab in your browser, type in psychictalk.net/chat, and you can chat with us in here. And Eli wanted to call in, but he's got an interesting comment that, okay, so he says that he sees the Ten of Swords as overwhelming thoughts, keeping the person down, and you have the swords, you know, coming down, and the person might need to clear the mind. But reversed, however, he sees the swords as actually holding the person in the image up and keeping them from falling. And so that might be something like, what does he say here? Thoughts might feel burdensome, but the person needs them to hang on and needs to actually deal with them instead of getting rid of them in order to push themselves forward. So what he brings up is something I wanted to bring up in regards to reversals, which is like the visual aspect, which you touched on a few minutes ago, that, you know, what's actually going on in the card, which is what we look at when we're looking at it upright. So why not reverse, right? So my favorite example was always the Three of Swords. So the Three of Swords card is upside down. It's reversed. The swords fall out of the heart. By the way, Eli's name on here is Eli Hart. I thought that was an interesting connection. And then we have Eli's. Isn't that funny? And then we have Eli's example here with the Ten Swords actually holding the person up. So what's your comments on that? You know, visually, what's going on in the card when it's reversed?
Well, you know, it depends on, you know, the deck you use. Not everybody uses the Rider Waite.
Exactly.
So, you know, if we're discussing, you know, just the tons of swords in the back, we're only discussing one image from one deck, you know. So, you know, it depends, again, on the type of, you know, image that you're using and from what deck. Now, you're talking about the Three of Swords. You know, again, it could become recovering from the heartbreak, you know, the heartbreak because the swords are out. You know, it could be a refusal to shed tears or show weakness, you know, as in needed but not utilized. It could be a heart condition that needs diagnosed. You know, it's hidden.
Or how about because the swords are out and the heart is whole again, how about expressing love in the face of the tragedy?
Absolutely. I even talk about that in the Three of Swords chapter where I say it could be like the three musketeers who band together in rough times. You know, all for one and one for all.
Mm.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. See, when you start looking at it that way, things start, you know, looking a bit differently, doesn't it? And so that's what I like about reversals is it's just a new way of seeing things. And even if you don't use them in readings for whatever reason, it's still fun to play with them on your downtime, when you're journaling or pondering, because it'll get you to stretch the meaning of a card. So even if you don't use reversals, you're still going to be adding these meanings to your toolkit because you'll probably remember them. So even when you have them upright, you'll still be able, because I believe every card has this continuum, a huge continuum. Now, how big your continuum is obviously based on your experience and your knowledge. So any time that we can ponder a card and really integrate its meaning or look at it from all these different angles, we add to our toolkit, whether it's as a tarot reader or just for illumination or edification or personal growth and insight. So, you know, upside down, you know, cards can, through the image, of course, that's yet another aspect to where we can see something like what would happen if this card was turned on its head, like the Empress in the Rider Waite. She's got a crown and a staff and a bunch of clothes. What would happen if her couch got turned upside down and she, you know, fell on her crown? Then it becomes like, oh, wait a minute, that reminds me of Jack and Jill went down the hill and losing the crown. Or it could mean like perhaps you know, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think you're like the queen of creativity. You know, it could indicate pride. You know, or, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, even if you start playing with it and you start thinking, okay, what would it mean if? And you start, you know, even jotting down, like brainstorming, don't censor yourself. Like, what would it mean if the Empress was upside down? And in whatever your deck is. And, you know, and you could start doing visually, you could start doing play on words, the esoteric aspects and all the other, you know, lenses that I talked about.
Absolutely. Oh, wow, they're just talking up a storm there in the chat post, psychictalk.net/chat. Hey, if you're in the caller queue right now and you've got a question specifically about reversals or how to read tarot cards, anything related, go over to our chat post, psychictalk.net/chat, and just let me know that you have a specific question, not a reading question, but a specific question on tarot, on reversals, how to read tarot, how to read reversals, and pop in your area code. We'll bring you on first. Another thing you can do is you can message me on Facebook, Dax Carlisle, D-A-X Carlisle, C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E, and you could just message me on Facebook and say, hey, Dax, I'm, you know, area code such and such. I want to ask about reversals. We'll bring you on first, okay? So I'm just going to throw that out there for everybody listening. Rose has some interesting comments, but before it actually takes me in a direction, I also wanted to get your thoughts on Janet. But before we go there, it's the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to take a short break and just some quick announcements. What's coming up on Psychic Talk Radio, the breaking news here. Yes, I've always wanted to use the breaking news audio clip. There we go. Upcoming shows. Yeah, so tomorrow on Thursday, April 26th, it's the Soul Sisters show. What can I expect from a soul realignment reading? And what is that? You might want to call in and ask Anne and Sue. You know, Sue's right here in Arizona. She's about an hour and a half north of me in Mesa. I'm down here in Tucson. Anne is calling in all the way from Sweden. And they're the host tomorrow, and it's going to be they have a new time. It's earlier. It seems like 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And then on Friday, the Goddess Guidance Show, an introduction to karma. So if you've ever wanted to learn more about that, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. You're going to have to stay up a little bit later on that one. That's the Goddess Guidance Show with Shakti Devi and Naki Alayo. And then I'll be back on Saturday with Psychic Saturdays with Mary Brown. You never know what we're going to talk about, and it's open lines all show. You can call in for a reading, or you can call in to talk about anything on your mind. I mean, a few weeks back, we did crazy readings like, is Obama going to become the UN secretary? That rumor was going around. Is the Donald going to get impeached? You know, things like that. On Sunday, April 29th, host Natalie Anderson is back with her show, Caressing Your Soul. And she has on her special guest, Courtney Allison, who is an expert in Lernamon. So we're going to be talking about Lernamon cards. And then on Monday is our Psychic Talk Network Party. That's right. We do this once a month now, folks. The last Monday of the month. It's going to be 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. We invite all the hosts on the network. And it'll be the mark, Janet, it's going to be the mark of our first month of Psychic Talk, the Psychic Talk Network being on the air. Isn't that cool?
So the host party is the 29th?
Monday the 30th. Monday the 30th. And so if you can make it,
Monday
we would
the 30th.
Love it. Yeah.
Yes,
so,
I am writing it down
you
right
could talk
now.
Write that down, because you could talk about your Naked Tarot podcast. And this is kind of what we want to do on the show, is we want to have the host come on, and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what we think of the network a month in, what some of our favorite episodes that we had on our show. You can do that for your podcast, for instance, you know, what some of your favorite episodes of the Naked Tarot podcast that you've done so far. And then also what's coming up in May. You know, do you have a couple of really interesting, you know, shows, or in your case, a podcast that you want to let people know about? And we'll take your calls as well. So it's a network party live on air Monday, April 30th, 2 p.m. Eastern. And then the Tuesday show, The Power of Three, Hope, Wisdom, and Healing. They're on at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. That's Rose Fullhorst. Who I mentioned earlier is actually live with us right now in the chat room talking up a storm about reversals, Janet. And 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and they're going to be talking about when spirit comes a-knocking, start the conversation. And you can call in for mini readings too. So that's interesting as well. And, of course, I'll be back next Wednesday with another Tarot Insider show. And it's actually going to be – Mary Brown is going to guest co-host. My regular co-host, Suzanne Warnett, moved back to the UK, and she's still getting her house in order 2 months later. Hopefully she's going to join us in May. But Mary will be joining me. Same bat time, same bat channel, 11 a.m. It's 2 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to be talking about easy tarot reading methods. We're going to talk about, you know, ways to make it easier. You know, it'll be great for beginners, but even for old hands might get something out of this. You know, different ways of looking at working. You know, I think there's certain preconceived notions about readings and how you do readings and spreads. And we'll be talking about some of our favorite, you know, spreads that are simpler, that are easier to work with, methods of working with multiple spreads, and it's just going to be fascinating. So be sure to tune in next Wednesday. So that's everything that's coming up. You can find all the shows coming up over the next week, always at Psychic Talk. Can't talk today. PsychicTalk.net/upcoming, and it'll have a post for each upcoming show. You click on it, it'll give you all the times and the player where you can listen to the show on that day and listen live or listen in archive. It's all right there. Great stuff. So that's what's coming up, folks. And before we go back to the topic, let's take a call real quick. We've had some people that have been waiting on a long time, Janet, and maybe they have some comments on reversals, maybe not, or maybe they want a mini reading. So let's see. We have
sure.
the first person that's been waiting the longest, like 43 minutes and 49 seconds. Poor Jessica in Missouri. I'm sorry, Jessica. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for holding on. Hope you've been enjoying the show.
Hi. Yeah, it's been pretty interesting.
What can we do for you to, do you have a question or a comment or?
Well, I actually have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I just wanted to know, I got into a falling out with someone that I was seeing, and now we are back in communication, and I just wanted to know, like, what you guys see from there with us, like, if we were going to work things out or what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right off the bat, I get an Ace of Wands. And a lot of times the wands, they're the fire energy. You know, it's your passion, following your passion. Sometimes, you know, career. So a lot of times it's new ventures and things like that. But in this particular sense, it's with this relationship, it's almost like a new relationship. You're starting anew. And it looks really positive. Whenever I get an ace, you know, I get a warm, fuzzy feeling in my tummy. Janet, did you pull a card? Any insight for Jessica?
I got the Ten Material or Ten of Pentacles card. So that is a very, it's a very fruitful card. But when it comes to relationships, it could mean that extended family members could somehow affect the outcome of the new discussions and new relationship you guys have. Does that make sense at all?
It does. But I don't know if, because part of me, like, my fear is I'm not sure how his family would perceive the relationship.
Okay, well, that's what the card is saying, yeah.
Dead on, Jay.
A fear of how the family is going to see it. In that case, if it's your situation, understand that fears have a weird way of manifesting. You know, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And because I drew a clarifying card, and I got the train or the chariot, which is like a full speed ahead. Don't look to the left or right. Just go forward. So I think that's encouraging you to just not care what anybody in the family, yours or his, thinks at all. And to just go full speed ahead, live your truth, speak from your heart, be authentic, and take it a day at a time. You know, none of us can foretell how a relationship's going to go, but the cards are counseling you, you know, like with Dax's Ace of Swords, it's a fresh new start. So, you know, it's saying don't go into this with any preconceived notions, or don't let the past dictate how it's going to go from now on. And also, you know, deal with your fears of what extended family members might think or how they might act, and just try to put some blinders on, like a horse going on a racetrack, you know, put blinders on and just go forward, focus on this relationship, you know, singly, you know, get the fears out of the way, you know, be authentic from your heart,
honestly,
be open and honest.
I think the issue that happened, and he's not saying it completely, because things change whenever he went to visit his family. He's from a different state. And that's kind of when the dynamic changed. And I feel like his family has a lot to do with what happened. I feel like they are pushing him towards a different, like, type of woman. Like, that they're like, you should be with a different type of person.
And that
I don't think he's really telling
me. The chariot. Yeah, family pushing, with a chariot. That could very well be that the family is pushing him in a different direction away from you. But, you know, the ball's in his court, because he has to have the wherewithal to stand up to his family. You know, if you really matter that much to him, then he's going to have to grow a pair and say, look, you know, this is who I choose, and you don't really have a say in it. So, it seems to me like, you know, the ball's more in his court than yours. And
exactly.
You can't worry about it. You can't do anything at this point other than to be your authentic self, open in communication. But he, you know, has to push back against his family if that's really what he wants, you know, as a relationship with you. And perhaps you need to have a discussion with him about that and say, hey, if you don't mind me asking, you know, just get it out in the open. Just say, how does your family feel about me? Or
yeah.
is there some kind of extenuating circumstance or issue that would prevent our relationship going forward based on your family dynamics? Just get it out there, you know, and it's better to know quick, you know, and get out of the way than to wonder and let your fears fester.
Absolutely. I hope that helped you out, Jessica. Lots of great information from just, you know, one or two cards there, which actually brings me full circle back to what Rose was talking about in the chat about, you know, reversals and, you know, the other cards in the spread. And I think a lot of people, when they look at cards and they have a reverse card, they're really focused on, you know, that one card and reversal meanings and things like that. And they're not paying attention necessarily to the other cards and how that's influencing the reversal. What's your comments
yeah.
on that, Jenna?
I think that, you know, sometimes a reversal can be like warrants a little bit of extra attention. But I think if a person is not comfortable reading reversals, that they shouldn't do it until they are comfortable. Just put that darn thing upright, or put it upright and then make a notation, say, hey, this was reversed. If it makes you nervous, just seeing it upside down, especially if you have OCD, you know, and just make a note of it. And, you know, the mm-hmm. more you read reversals, the more you kind of learn, okay, which one of these dozen applications seems to go with this upside down card, especially considering what the question at hand is and the surrounding cards. I don't do yes or no questions because I just think it's lame that if you want to know
sure.
yes or no, you could flip a coin. But if a person who used reversals did do that kind of reading, well, you know, an upside down card could be no. You know, because the Ace of Wands upside down looks like a thumbs down. Reminds me of, you know, the gladiators, and, you know, they would put their thumbs down if they said, okay, no, you lose, you're dead. So, you know, Ace is upside down, you know, can mean a lot of things. And you know, it could mean like burying a seed, or it could mean a thumbs down, a refusal to, you know, use logic to solve a situation. It could be crying excessive tears in the case of the Ace of Cups, or a need to express emotion because maybe it's blocked up and person's afraid to feel. You know, again, it depends on the question at hand and the topic, and it depends on the surrounding cards. But you don't have to read reversals.
Yeah.
It's only, you know, like mm-hmm. I said earlier, I really think that the best thing to do is to get comfortable with how the reversals manifest in life just as you're journaling or you're pondering, you know, as a part of a daily meditation, and say, okay, if this card would, you know, even write down on a piece of paper, if this card were reversed, it might mean, and then just start brainstorming, you know, and use it based on image, based on, you know, some of the dozen or so lenses that I provide in my book, Tear in Reverse. You know, just start brainstorming, and you never know what might come up, and then you can add it to your tarot journal. You can eventually use it in your toolbox. And like I said, even then, if you choose to only read upright cards, you will have remembered what you journaled about a reversal, and who knows, that might actually come to your mind. Because, you know, let's face it, some cards have, oh, my God, you know, 20 meanings or so. And that, you know, granted, it is complicated enough to learn the meaning of 78 cards, let alone, you know, if you do reversals. But if you remember that it's a continuum and you just keep adding to that continuum and you keep expanding, then you have more to draw upon with your intuition during a reading. And I really fully believe that honing our intuition and our skills as a reader will also help us not only to interpret the card, but to know the right interpretation or the most beneficial or correct interpretation that will help the client at that time. And that includes, you know, reverse meanings. And even if you don't read reversals, but if you've practiced using them, whether you get my book or you do journaling or what have you, then you can add, you know, that meaning might come up to your mind, like with, you know, we were talking about the Three of Swords earlier reversed. You know, it could come up and you think, and immediately what comes to your mind is, oh my gosh, blocked heart chakra. You know, the heart, the fourth chakra
Ooh,
is blocked.
Yeah.
Or it could mean, you know, about friends, you know, rallying around you and supporting you. You know, it could mean,
well,
you know, it depends.
You come from. Too. I mean, think
right.
about it. If you're a Reiki master, you know, and you deal with chakras, that's exactly what you might see, right?
Exactly. And that's why any time that we study any other system or we bring it to bear, even if it's just like pop culture knowledge or archetypes or mythology or spirituality or sacred texts or Reiki or astrology or any esoteric discipline, anything that you learn can be brought to bear on the tarot, anything, even if nobody has associated those things yet in the tarot book. You can still bring it to bear, you know. And same way with reversals. They just add a whole new way of seeing a card and adding to the toolbox. And even if you're not going to visually read reversals, learning about them can help expand the possible meanings when that card comes up.
Absolutely. And a little plug or hint for next Wednesday is I know you mentioned not liking yes and no, but you know the reversal method, and we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about, if you don't use reversals, another even better way of doing reversal, doing yes no spread, which actually is not just simply a yes no, and it's one of the really cool ways, I think, to do it. We're going to talk about, you know, really going against the tarot community's concept of doing readings, and in some of this anyway, in some of the methods we're going to talk about, Mary and I, we're going to talk about basically doing it 180 degrees, the opposite of what the modern thoughts are, at least over the last 10, 15 years, what people have been talking about, how you're supposed to do tarot reading. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You got to tune in next Wednesday, folks. Let's take another call. I see Rose is on the line, and we've been talking with her in the chat room, but she called in. So let's bring Rose Fullhorst on. Hi, Rose.
Hello, Jan. Hello, Jax. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Rose. Good to talk with you.
Yes, I've been listening to your show, and it's wonderful. And I have, oh my goodness, as you go along, I have so many comments that I can make. I mean, so many things that I can actually comment on and say. I started out actually as a tarot card reader with regular deck of cards, right, playing cards. And, mm-hmm. you know, I learned, and no, there's really no reversal, so to say, really. But as time went on, I learned, and I got a deck of Rider-Waite, and I used that deck of Rider-Waite, and I really got, I really used my intuitive side in those also, but I also paid attention to the symbolism. And I noticed, then this is when I first started, you know, early on when I first started reading the tarot and the Rider-Waite, I did a reading for myself, and the reading, you know, all the cards were, I did a three-card reading, and all three cards were reversed. One of them was the Devil. The next one was the Ten of Swords reversed. And then I forget what the other one was. But basically, when I read it, I knew what it meant. So I knew that somebody very close to me was going to cross. And how I knew that was, oh, I remember what the other one. It was, let's see, the Nine of... It was the Nine and Ten of Swords, and then also the Devil card. So, or the, you know, the Devil. So those three were in line. So it was past, present, future, and it was basically telling me that someone was going to cross. Now the Ten of Swords, like I said, was reversed. So I took that to mean what it was showing me. As I took it to mean that somebody very close was going to pass, and I was going to be, by the Nine of Swords, I was going to be in a lot of pain and you know, upset about it and crying and carrying on. And actually, 3 days later, that happened.
Wow.
So the reversal of the cards actually told me that.
Wow. How did you glean death from that? I mean, considering, like, the death card didn't come up, and... What made you think that about
a
crossing?
Well, I did another reading after that, and the death card did show up. Actually, I did Celtic Cross reading, but it did show up in that also because I asked for more information. I took the Nine of Swords and I laid it down, and then I asked for more information. and got a reading from that card, you know what I mean, shuffled and then laid that one out in the middle, and it basically told me what was going to happen.
I see.
So it I knew it when I seen it. I mean, the intuitive side comes in, and that's why I was making the comment that you have to look at all sides of that. You have to look at all the cards around it, because sometimes those are the ones that are going to really, you know, make you understand that.
Absolutely.
You know, and it really woke me up to the power of the tarot and the reversal. So I got more into looking at those reversals. And, you know, sometimes they're very, very negative, and sometimes they can be very positive. And so listening to your show is very interesting. Yeah, it's very
powerful. It's almost like reversals become a form of magic. I can't explain it, and mm-hmm. I try not to be too woo-woo, but there's just something.
Oh, that's okay, Janet.
Powerful,
just go woo-woo.
And unusual. It's just something powerful and unusual with reversals, and I think, Rose, your reading displays that.
I couldn't believe it.
Right.
And that was not the first time that happened to me, but it was always the same card.
Wow.
You know, a few years later, I lost another loved one, and it was the same way. You know, because
uh-huh.
I was reading and practicing all the time. Because practice, of course, makes perfect, and you do learn those little things about reversals, you know, when you're practicing. And so
it's just like a relationship with a person. I mean, you have to get to know them, and how do you get to know them? But you communicate and you interact with each other, you know, and you ponder and you think
exactly.
and you communicate. And the deck is the same way. And you know, a lot of practice reaps great rewards. And then if you start, you know, trusting and using reversals, it really can magnify your experience and also the type of interpretations and readings you get.
Exactly. Use everything in that card. Because,
yeah.
I mean,
awesome.
You know, I use the numbers. I look at the numbers. I look at the symbolism.
Oh,
I look at the reversal. I look at what other cards are around it. I look at, you know, there's so much to look at in there, and there's so much to, because, you know, being a medium from birth, I see, you know, I can see the spirit in everything.
Right.
So when I'm reading, I see it in everything. I get the message in everything. And like you were saying, with those different modalities and different, you know, the cards can relate to all of that.
Absolutely.
So
that's why I'm not really a fan of big card spreads. I don't like the Celtic cross, for example. I think sometimes
if
you do bigger
one. Oh, honey,
that's
it
just
is
me.
Great to make up your own, but I love that one. I do.
Yeah.
But that's,
see, for me,
that's what I'm going to be talking about next week, Janet.
Oh, yeah. See, now early on, I just learned that for me, that large spreads were, especially the Celtic cross, were unnecessary and gave too much information, and it was almost like Celtic cross is a scattershot, like buckshot, and smaller
mm-hmm.
spreads or even a one-card spread is more like a laser. And you sure, if somebody comes to you and goes, well, I just want a general reading, well, yeah, of course a bigger spread could do
right.
that. I mean, I would prefer, in terms of large spreads, for a general overview, I prefer the Zodiac spread, where it has all 12 houses of the Zodiac, because
yes.
then it has like a slice of life of each, you know, part of life, and then for me, it provides a bigger
yeah.
overview, I feel. But, you know, hey,
yeah,
you guys, what works for you.
Right, I use everything. I mean, I really honestly do. That
mm-hmm.
is not the only one I use. I use every, and I do use pinpoint, you know, with one card, because you're correct in that.
Sure.
You know, if a person, it's like you said earlier with the yes or no, you know, if I don't answer yes or no questions with my cards, because they give
right.
details. So, I mean, that's,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and yeah,
that's what
exactly.
Just, they give details.
The
they can
tool.
Go into detail. And,
right. It's
I'm
the
sorry?
Wrong tool. I feel that tarot
exactly.
is the wrong tool for a yes or no question. It's
I
like trying to,
you know. I know yeah, Mary Brown is really a big fan of pendulums. Hey, we got to move on because I got to take some more calls, at least try to get one more call in before the end of the show. But, Rose, great comment. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Great talking with you.
Yes. It's great. You guys have a great show. Thank
you.
Bye-bye,
Rose.
Bye. Gotta love Rose. I love all her comments in the chat room as well there.
I know. She's so cute. So supportive.
I know. I can't wait for her show next week. Her and Vivian and Fiona, they just blend together so well. That's why Power 3 show, right? But I just wanted to give out that URL because it's good for all the shows, folks. So you want to store in your phone or write down the phone number, 714-816-4628. If we don't get to your call today, we'll be back tomorrow. But also write down that psychictalk.net/chat because – on the day of the show, you can join us in the chat room. And a lot of folks haven't found that yet, Janet. And people that have, like Eli and Rose and everybody that are taking advantage of it in there, you know, they have a great time in the chat area, which is basically just a post on our Facebook group. You can find it by going to the group, but psychictalk.net/chat takes you right there. Let's see if we can squeeze in another call. I think we have actually a long distance call here. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from? What's your name? Are you there?
Hi.
Hi. What's your name, hon?
Hi. It's Sonia from France.
Oh, from France. Bonjour. Tell everybody where you are in France, Sonia.
Yes, I am in north of France.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, what's your comment or question, hon?
Yeah, I want to thank you all because I called one time and I feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's not 100%, but I feel better a little bit.
Oh, that's
glad we
can help. I wanted to ask two questions, please. It is about work because I may have lost my job in September. Without any reason or any explanation, and somebody is going to help me this week. So I wanted to ask if I'm going to get my job back, first question. And second, I talked to a person, a female person, and she was very important to me. And she stopped talking to me, and I want to know if she's going to if she's going to talk back to me, and what is the thing, or who blocked her from me? That's my two questions.
Okay. Well, you know, just real quickly off the top, I'm getting the star card for your relationship with her. And whenever the star shows up, I mean, there's hope. You know, you just have to have faith. And I really get the feeling you're going to reconnect. With the job situation, I got the Four of Pentacles, and that the Four is structure. And I really feel that you're going to be able to return to financial and material security, which is one of the general meanings of that card. It looks good to me getting that card for that situation. I really think that you're going to be able to reacquire. It might be different work. It might not be the same place though. Let's see what Janet's getting.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think
because sorry.
Oh no, that's okay, honey. I was just gonna say that. Yeah, I don't think that it's gonna be the same job because I drew the Seven Emoting or Seven of Cups card, and in our Snowland deck, it shows a lady who is actually inside of a store that sells, like, figurines and mugs and snow globes and what have you, and she's looking. She's trying to decide on what she wants to buy, and so I sense that the job may involve retail on a mundane level. You know, there might be some kind of shopkeeping or retail type of job. But I think the Seven of Cups might be indicating that you're going to have more options coming to you than you realize. And so don't narrow your options thinking, you know, putting all your eggs in a basket, so to speak, of your former job. You know, just bless it, be thankful for the experience, and look to other opportunities that are out there. Allow yourself to even dream and use your imagination and ask yourself, what would I really like to do right now? You know, what could use my, what kind of job would use my skills and talents that I would also feel fulfilled at? And in terms of your friend, mm-hmm. I drew the inversion card, which is funny because we're talking about reversals, mm-hmm. and the inversion card shows a skier who's upside down, and it's the equivalent of the hanged man. And there is some mm-hmm. kind of hang-up. Somebody is getting hung up on something. So it would mm-hmm. appear that your friend has gotten hung up on something. And it could be something that was said. It could be something that was implied or inferred in a conversation. But she has a hang-up. And whatever that hang-up is has prevented her going forward in your relationship. So it's almost like a big pause button on the relationship. And so, you know, you're just going to have to be patient, go with the flow, or decide to just bless the relationship and move on, you know, whether, you know, not knowing mm-hmm. whether it's going to eventually continue. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. If she's blocked, she don't want to do anything, but I help her very, very bad. And I'm very sad about it. It's hurt me very bad.
Yes, but there's still hope because, you know, I got the star card, so there's still hope, Sonia. There's still hope. We got to run, though, because we're at the end of the show, Sonia, but thanks so much for calling in all the way from France.
Thank
Tell
you.
All your friends.
And I keep listening to
Tell
you every night. And yesterday you were not around.
Yes.
Aw, bless
Tell
you.
All your friends, at least, you know, ones that are English speaking in France, they got to listen to Psychic Talk, psychictalk.net.
Aw.
Folks. Thanks, Sonia.
Yeah, I love it. You're always very
good. Aw,
absolutely.
Thank you. So
sweet. Yeah, Sonia. Sonia was one of our first callers when we launched the network. And so like, it was like the first week that we were on the air and Sonia called in all the way from France. Gotta love it.
Oh, bless her heart.
Gosh, thanks, Janet. This was such a great show. Talk about powerful information for everybody out there. Everybody grab Tarot in Reverse, psychictalk.net/reverse. We'll take you right there. Anyway, grab the book, visit JanetBoyer.com, and you might have to go back and re-listen to this episode in archive now, folks, and write this all down if you didn't take notes, because Janet gave us a lot of good stuff.
All the stuff that I shared is also in the book, and the book is beautiful. It's glossy pages. It's full color, so it's a very sensual, beautiful book. Not only is it jam-packed with information and it's fun and practical, has 20 affirmations for every single card. You know, that's like, what, 1,250 or 1,560, something like that. I'm bad at math. But over 1,000 affirmations for every card to help you deal with the reversal at hand and to integrate it into your life. So it's a beautiful book, and I think everybody will love it.
I just like the cover, how it just draws you in. I like the yellow, you know, really has that optimistic
and inviting.
That was a
pretty choice. Yeah, the book designer did a really great job in choosing yellow, and I chose the card. They originally were going to have the full one there, and I said, oh, can we please have the moon card instead? And I said, because the moon is often indicative of uncertainty or something that's hidden or unknown, and it would be the perfect card, I feel. And they allowed me to do the moon card instead, and I love it that there's yellow in it, but there's a lot of blue, so it contrasts nicely with that yellow background. So I'm very pleased with how it looks and how it came out.
I want to thank Janet Boyer for being my guest co-host. Fantastic show on reversals. And be sure to grab her book, psychictalk.net/reverse, and visit janetboyer.com. And, of course, we will be back with Soul Sisters tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And I'll be back on Saturday with an open line show. So we'll talk to you real soon. Going to say goodbye to everybody and have a great rest of your day.